It's 10:33 at the Big 550 KTRS in St. Louis, the Jennifer and Wendy Show. Thank you so much for listening and for telling your friends about us. There are always stories about dementia and Alzheimer's and those related illnesses in the news from hour to hour. You would be surprised if you don't regularly Google dementia and Alzheimer's. And so we are very, very grateful to have the support of Park Provence. They are a sponsor of our program. And Dr. David Carr, he is the medical director at Park Provence. He is a professor at Washington University School of Medicine and the director of clinical services for the university's Division of Geriatrics and Gerontology, a nationally recognized expert in the field of memory care. We're so fortunate to have you, doctor. We know you're busy. Are there that many developments on a daily basis? Welcome back, by the way.
Jennifer and Wendy, just really glad to be here. It does. It seems like every week, every month, we have a new study that's looking at some links. And I think it's an exciting time when there was a great review in one of our journals in 2020, Lancet, that looked at risk factors. And about 50% of the risk for Alzheimer's disease has been figured out, but we still have a long way to go.
So there is a link between dementia and air pollution from traffic. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, it's very, very interesting. And it appears there's been a series of studies over decades. In fact, you can go back to the 1990s and look at autopsy rates for deaths in Shanghai, China, and the number one cause for people to die was respiratory disease. The number two cause was Alzheimer's disease. And so we've had a spate of studies through the years that does suggest this relationship. And this month in our neurology journal, there was a very interesting study from Emory. They have a similar memory and aging project to the one that we have here at Washington University, where they follow patients longitudinally, do very careful clinical assessments, psychology type evaluations for psychometric tests. And these individuals then donate their brains for science, and they were able to correlate. They went back and looked at the air pollution levels where individuals lived through the years, and then were able to associate it with the dementia severity, specifically the amount of amyloid plaques. Amyloid is a protein in the brain that accumulates with Alzheimer's disease. So very interesting. So again, we have to be cautious. Association doesn't mean causation, but it dovetails pretty closely with the study over the summer, a much larger one where they studied over 25,000 patients and looked at agriculture and exposure to wildfires. And I think the mechanism here is light particulate matter. These are small particles, less than 2.5 microns, and they can get in the lungs, they can get in the blood, and they can get in the brain. So, you know, obviously there needs to be caution regarding exposure.
And then there was a little bit of good news, Dr. Carr, in terms of statins. Can you walk us through those headlines?
Yeah, so that's a very complicated area, and there's studies to suggest statins may reduce your risk of Alzheimer's disease. There's some that show it potentially could increase it. The more recent studies, the large studies, show it's probably neutral. But in Hong Kong, there was a study in January, very exciting. They looked at about 100,000 of their patients, heart failure patients. And half of these patients were on statins and half weren't. And they were very surprised, the researchers, to find out there was a 30% reduction in patients with having new onset Alzheimer's disease, 20% reduction in vascular dementia. Again, depending on your situation, I think your listeners should be aware, you know, statins are prescribed so often if you have, you know, depending on your age and hypertension, diabetes, and hyperlipidemia risks. But you may be benefiting the brain. In fact, if you look at the incidence of dementia, now the absolute numbers are going up every year just because of the aging demographic. But the actual number of people that are getting it has decreased in Europe and the United States. And probably it's because people have stopped smoking, and all the blood pressure and all the statins that possibly could be prescribed.
Dr. Carr, you are a renowned expert in the field of dementia research. And as you well know, we are all weighing in with our opinions about Joe Biden and Donald Trump and their age, as are their opponents. Not asking you to diagnose them or anything, but just as a person, do you think they're too old? And as we at home are looking at video of them, obviously we're not in a position to diagnose whether or not they have cognitive decline.
Yeah, so it's very interesting area to watch this. And I got to caution listeners that, you know, looking and trying to be an armchair quarterback, or in this case, an armchair doctor, I would preach some caution, because we bring with ourselves biases of what we think is normal aging and what's dementia. I don't have to go any further than Ronald Reagan. So Ronald Reagan, his last month in office was January 1989. And about 5 years later, a public announcement, he had Alzheimer's disease. His two sons, who obviously saw him and knew him, have totally opposite views. The one son says he saw the dementia during both terms. The other son said there was absolutely no evidence of cognitive impairment during both terms. And it just shows you that we, through our, you know, our biases and what we think we may know what's going on, but people can look at the same information and come up with different opinions. When we do a dementia assessment in clinic, it takes us an hour. We have to interview, you know, the family, and are there any changes in cognitive decline, interview the patient, and do, you know, some fairly extensive cognitive testing. It takes us an hour just to figure out if somebody's got, you know, normal aging, mild cognitive impairment, or dementia. So I think it's difficult to say, and I would just caution individuals on their opinion. Leave it to the doctors, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yes. And Dr. Carr, we have a question. We have a text line where our listeners text in, and it's a question from one of our listeners that I always wondered about, too. She is asking, do statins affect memory? I chose not to take one because of the reported side effects to short-term memory. And I thought I had heard that before, that they can, statins can affect a person's memory, brain fog, what have you.
So appreciate that question. And I think we have to differentiate large studies when we talk about samples versus taking a pill on an individual basis. So in 2015, there was a concern the FDA put out about statins and cognitive impairment, because on an individual basis, somebody can have a reaction to a drug, even if the large studies aren't concerning. So we know that some statins are what we call lipophilic. They're fat soluble. They cross the blood-brain barrier. Atorvastatin, Lipitor is one of those. If you're taking it, you're doing fine. No reason to come off of it. But if somebody has a medication and they have some trouble, they feel like they're slower or more confused, certainly stop it. Talk with your doc. There are other statins that are hydrophilic, pravastatin, Pravacol, rosuvastatin, or Crestor. They're hydrophilic. They tend not to cross the blood-brain barrier. So to your listener out there, I would say I understand, you know, there could be some concern, but there probably is a statin out there for you that you can tolerate.
And Dr. Carr, before we go, just because so many of us, our listeners, Wendy, myself, in our 60s, think that we have some degree of cognitive decline, when should we worry?
So a lot of times the cognitive decline isn't self-evident. You may not notice. So I think you just have to be open to those around you and to say, do you think I'm slipping? And if you've got some, you know, family members, people who see on a regular basis, I think they're going to be able to tell you. And, you know, there's subtle changes in memory, language, reaction time that we all can have that are age-related. But when they get to the point they're interfering with your social, occupational, or day-to-day activities of daily living function, we get concerned at that point. And I think it's a good time to come in for an evaluation.
Can you ever imagine, and we are limited and we know your time is precious and we're sorry about that, but can you imagine a time when the, you know, whomever would decide that we do need some kind of a litmus test for the holder of the highest political office in the world? Could you ever see that actually happening?
Yes, and I think it's a reasonable request. I think if, as your job description goes up and you have more responsibility for people, I think the bar should be higher. And that's the problem with cognitive impairment and dementia. You may not notice it. The people around you may think it's normal aging. So there has been a call in our literature for having, you know, a battery of tests. And this can especially be applied to federal judges. You know, at least with presidents, it's two terms and you're out. But federal judges are appointed for a lifetime. So there has been a call for there to be cognitive, you know, screening. Now, what are those tests? What are the cutoffs? What happens when you fail? How often do you do them? Do you have everybody do it, regardless of age? Those are things to be answered. We struggle that within our field of physicians. We have a lot of docs that are still working in their 70s and 80s. And Henry Ford Hospital and Yale decided at age 70 they were going to start screening their doctors with cognitive tests. And they both are embroiled in lawsuits for age discrimination. So I don't know where that's going to go. So I do think that time is coming, but it's probably still a little ways away.
Dr. Carr, many of our listeners are asking if you have a website or if there's somewhere they can get more information from you and your research. Is there such a thing?
Yeah. So if you just go into Washington University and put in David Carr, you'll come to my website or geriatrics. There's the Alzheimer's Disease Research Center, which is another great site. Lots of information there. Dr. John Morris heads up neurology. There's so much research going on. I can't even name all the neurologists that are doing cutting edge research in Alzheimer's disease. But if they just Google our names and the website, we'll be happy. You know, there's emails, there's contact numbers. We'd be glad to field some questions.
Dr. David Carr, thank you so much. It's always great to talk to you. So we really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Glad to be here. Uh-huh. Have a great day.